If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you.
waiting here for you. Hallelujah. Oh God, we magnify you. We thank you, Lord, that you have always picked on the underdog to raise them up. You've always used weak ones. Use little things. Things that seem to not matter. That which is rejected. And somehow you make something good, something wonderful, something extraordinary from that which seems to be useless. Lord, we come. We recognize, O God, that in ourselves we are nothing. It is only by your grace and by your mercy that we can be all you say we can be. And Lord, we stand in agreement with you. And we say, Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done. Your purpose is established, fulfilled in us, with us, even now. All because of grace and your tender mercies. Unto 1,000 generations, your covenant says, Lord, let it be unto us according to thy word. For we are waiting on you. With hands lifted up in praise. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you back here this evening for a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. We have been in the morning services talking about the covenant of God, the establishment of that covenant. And last week I began sharing something about our destiny helpers. And this is something that we all need. Everybody needs a destiny helper. And destiny helpers come in all kinds of form. Destiny helpers. They can be people. Destiny helpers can be angels, angelic forces that come alongside to help us. Destiny helper is the Holy Spirit, for he is our helper. And on and on and on we go. And this is a very important lesson to learn, because people that are proud do not accept help. They want to think of themselves as self-made people. There are no real self-made people. Every person that has made it had some help from somebody. And it's important that we locate and be located by our destiny helpers. That our destiny helpers are awakened from their slumber and have a revelation of us and say, I don't know why, but I would like to do this for you. I don't know why, but may I do this? I don't know why. I don't know why. But they are, while they don't know why, they are helping us. But a destiny helper cannot help you if he doesn't have what it takes to help. Therefore, it is wise for us to pray that our destiny helpers be equipped, that they be blessed. Praise the Lord. Everyone who is in this congregation, who partners with this ministry is a destiny helper. And it behooves me to pray for their blessing, that God will do great things for them. Think good thoughts concerning them rather than think evil, so that they can forge on in life. But as God is raising you up, do not forget from whence your help came. Hallelujah. People forget too easily when they get to where they want to get. They do not know and do not remember who helped them, who prayed for them, who gave them counsel, pointed them in a particular direction. Say, I know somebody, let me call somebody for you. When you go to such an, just tell them, just say my name. Just say my name and that's it. That's all you need to say. Because I have found favor in their sight. And I am connected to them. And they will be a blessing to anyone that is connected to me. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord says, when you come to the Father, go in my name. Not in your name, go in my name. Go in my name. I am your destiny helper. I have already worked it out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And today I want to share something with us that I shared with us already. I think it was on the 24th of January. That happens to be Mama's real birthday, but they made the mistake and wrote July. So she celebrates July 24th rather than January 24th. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Word of God says to us, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 25, 2 Kings 25, beginning to read from verse 27, 2 Kings 25, as the last chapter of the book of 2 Kings, and the last verses. It says here, and it came to pass in the 37th year, 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. This passage of scripture is such a powerful passage because it captures a lot of information in just a verse. He says it came to pass in the 37th year, that is 37. But the Word of God saw fit to split the words. 37th. And when I see something like that, I stop and I consider what is being said. We do know that the number 6 is the number of man, but we also do know that the number 5 is the number for grace. 6 and 5 is 30, meaning grace on the life of a man. But we also do know that the number 7 stands for the number of completion. Hallelujah. Completion and rest. Don't forget that. Because on the seventh day, God rested. So the word of God says, it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, the year that God wanted to release grace upon a man and bring him to his rest. And God is making that decision for every one of us. The decision to bring us to our rest. We may be men, we may be weak, we may be held down, we may be captured, we may be resisted, but God is saying, time up! Hallelujah. Enough of that. We're going to change it. And the Bible says, in the 12th month, the 12th month is, 12 is a number of governance, of leadership. In the 20th day of the month, 10 and 2 is 20. 10 is just like 8, which is a number of new beginnings, which is like 7, which is a number of completion. 10 represents that number that says God is bringing about a new beginning. And 10 times 2 says, God, that is God saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm giving you a restart. Hallelujah. And the 20th day of the month, that evil, and it says there, on the 7th and 20th day of the month. You see that? 7th and 20th day. So we're talking about 7. We already know what 7 is. We know what 20 means. But now let's bring both of them together. Both of them, 27, is a very special number. Because it has in there 3 times 3 times 3. That's the number of God. 3 times 3 is 9. 9 times 3 is 27. But here we have 3, that number of God. God is saying, God, God, God. This is God. This is not the work of a man. This is God. And when God gets involved, even an evil Merodach. Can you imagine that name? Evil Merodach, king of Babylon, out of nowhere, it seems. This is a son of Nebuchadnezzar, comes from that family. And his name, that word, evil Merodach, it means this: a man or a soldier of Merodach, and Merodach means rebellion. I don't know if you're getting it. This was a chief deity of Babylon. Thy rebellion, Merodach. An evil Merodach means a soldier of this one that is rebellious, connected to this evil god that was supreme amongst the Babylonians. They didn't know our God. They didn't know Yeshua. They didn't know Yahweh. They didn't know El Shaddai. They didn't know Adonai. They didn't know none of that. All they knew was evil Merodach. That's what they worshipped. Listen, the word of God says that idols have no power. They're blind, they cannot see, blah, blah, and so on and so forth. That is all true. But while you're studying the word of God also tells you that these evil spirits are powered. Nobody goes and pours their money and their resources to worship something that is not doing something for them. But they are blind because they do not see what God sees. They cannot save because when God decides to do something, they cannot save. They are helpless in the presence of God. But God calls all of these things gods too. But when he says, there are no gods besides me, he's saying, I don't have any equals. Hallelujah. I have no equals. I can control them. I can shut them down. I can intimidate them. I can do whatever it is I want to do, and they cannot make a peep about it. That's all. But they are powers. Listen, if you do not know that the devil operates powerfully, you have not met the powers of darkness. You've not battled them. If you've battled with them, you will say, oh my God, how did I get out of this one? If it were not for the grace of God. There are powers out there. So you don't mouth off. You know, growing up in, I thank God, I grew up in Nigeria. My early years as a Christian were in Nigeria because I experienced the challenges of powers. You go preaching, and somebody's going to tell you, so you too, you're a Christian, huh? I'll see you tonight. And when they say, I'll see you tonight, that means you are in trouble. I come from a country where they can do all kinds of stuff. And the amazing thing is that when I came into this country, whatever it is that they were doing over there was happening here. I have seen things that I saw in Africa, pots with sacrifices inside of it, right here in Winnipeg. Things that I did not see, I didn't think I will ever see. I saw it here. So I know there's evil powers. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, that it doesn't matter how evil the power is, there's a power that is greater than any other power and will shut down any power that tries to resist the plans of God for your life. God is forever true, and he's a covenant-keeping God, and everything that is contrary to the will of God must fail in Jesus' mighty name. We've got greater power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here is Joachim. He's in prison for 37 years. King after king came through. And nobody noticed him, took mind of him. Other kings had been killed, but he's kept alive. If you wondered, you know, some people, they are in a particular situation, an accident, something crazy happened, everybody else dies, and then they have survivor's guilt. No. That's not what you're supposed to have. You're supposed to celebrate and say, God, you kept me here for a reason. What is that reason? I don't know who I'm talking to. Why are you sitting down there moping and thinking that your life is not worth living because somebody else died? Yes, they died. Celebrate their lives. But now focus on your life and what God has for you and say, God, why did you keep me alive? What is my assignment? Who is it that I'm supposed to help? And who is it that's supposed to help me to fulfill that assignment? Because you must have something on your mind for me to be alive. There are places that others have failed. I'm not blind to the fact that we are still here. There are many churches that have started since we started that closed down. But we're still here. They face challenges like we face challenges. They're gone, but we're still here. I am not going to mope around and wonder, why did it happen to them and not us? No. I'm going to say, God, why am I here? And what exactly do you want me to accomplish? Because God has something on his mind. Hallelujah. Jehoiakim means Jehovah will establish. The secret was in his name. God had made a covenant. And this man had that name of God, a God who keeps covenant. Here is evil Merodach. He's a king of Babylon, his son and his successor to Nebuchadnezzar. Says, evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim. In other words, here's Jehoiakim, all his head just bowed down, moping, defeated, you know, well, same old, you know, I'm supposed to be a king, just in name, but I have no kingdom, I have nothing, I'm useless, I'm whatever. And he comes and he lifts up his head. Just like God is lifting up our heads right this very moment. But God will even use your enemy to lift up your head. Somebody that should be against you. Somebody that should think of you as a threat. Because if you have this guy and he's a king, he's a threat. Why is he still alive? He lifted up his head in the same year that he was made king. He himself is not rooted yet. But he lifts up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brings him out of prison. I declare today that by the authority of the word of God, that God will raise up people that will come alongside of you and locate you where you are, remember you, and lift up your head and give you a revitalized life to live life to the full in the mighty name of Jesus. God, during this time that we are going through crazy experiences, will come and lift up our heads and say, lift up your head. I have a plan for you. It's not your end. It's a new beginning. I'm pushing the fresh restart button on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you receive that, say, yes, Lord. Amen. You can be so beaten down that you have no way of looking up. There's a woman bent over for 38 years, I believe it was. Bent over, and all she could see was the dust. And Jesus said to her, woman, thou art loosed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that day, that woman's life was transformed. I know a man of God who was struggling with his ministry and thinking, nothing is going to happen with my life and how things are going to be fulfilled in my life. And God raised him up to write a book called Woman, Thou Art Loose. He had no money to print the book. But the wife stood alongside of him and said, you know, the money for our mortgage, use it to print this book. The wife was his destiny helper. He printed that book and his ministry shot out, exploded. and is still impacting the world today. The grace of God that was powerfully invested in this man of God that was kept imprisoned, all of a sudden blew out. And everywhere you look, you see that name, a mighty man of God touching lives. His name is T.D. Jakes. Limited. You know, the other day I was coming down Pembina Highway and went past this street, and I remembered there was a cemetery there that I too was busy cleaning in the early days. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. Cleaning the graveyard just to get by. The other day, I was checking the files upstairs, and I saw a printout of some document, but it was printed on a sheet of paper called No Mess Janitorial Services. That was us. That was Mama's business. No mess. Hallelujah. I can go on and on and on and on and tell you where God has been bringing us until God said, I don't want you doing any of that anymore. But God, where am I going to have money from? I take care of you. I remember the days that we're going from one Salvation Army thrift store to the other. One after the other. On Saturdays, we drove from one thrift store to the other thrift store with our little pennies in our pockets, hunting for clothes to wear. But you wouldn't know it because we're always so well-dressed. But we got it from the thrift store. It's like people would just take their nice clothes and just dump it in there just for us. And I come there and it fit perfectly. I didn't even have money to go to a tailor to fix it. Perfect fit. And I remember one day we were on Watt Street, I think it was. We just came out of one Salvation Army thrift store, and Mama said, we're in a little dinghy Chrysler pony car. Mama says, we're not going to these shops anymore. And I almost died. I said, what is this woman thinking about? What does she mean? And she says, if God can give us good clothes inside this thrift store, he can give it to us in the bay and Eaton's and wherever else. Well, I said, amen. But I tell you what, I was very double-minded. She was my destiny helper. Saying, enough of this. We're moving past here. Every one of us needs a destiny helper. Somebody that's going to come alongside of you and speak into your life and say, we can do this. We can do this. We can get there. We can accomplish this. Evil Merodach woke up one day and he thinks it was his idea, but it's God seeding him with the idea. Go to that prison. What does a king want to do in a prison? And he lifts up the head of Jehoiakim. God establishes. The word of God established in your life and in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and he spake kindly to him. That's a powerful statement. Spoke kindly. May God bring into your life men and women that will speak kindly to you. And he says, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. This guy is raised up. There were other kings in this confederacy. But he honors Jehoiakim and gives them the greater seat. That's a destiny helper. The one who come and say, well, there are other qualified people here, but you, I choose. I give you the higher position. I believe God wants to place his hands on his sons and his daughters in this house and say, I am raising you up to a higher position. He set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. But this is something else that I want us to see. While evil Merodach was busy doing that in a natural realm, God was doing his thing from the realm of the spirit. Because every king was influenced by another principality that controlled that particular one. And when evil Merodach, and I like that name, evil, it starts with evil. Can you imagine evil? And God is touching that which is evil and making it work together for your good. We need destiny helpers. I don't care where they come from. As long as God is controlling the issue, God will do what he wants to do and will accomplish his perfect will in my life and in your life, in our lives corporately, even in a difficult and evil world. It was Pharaoh that lifted up the head of Joseph out of prison. And when he came out, he didn't come out like he went in. He came out greater. To such an extent that the king, the Pharaoh, was now subject to whatever Joseph said. Wow. This is a place of authority that God wants to raise us up to, that we are established in his goodness because his grace is sufficient. Firstly, Joachim is removed from prison. And I declare today that every one of us be removed from that place of imprisonment, where that place of limitation, that place where we are kept captive, that we are removed from there. The Bible says he lifted his head up. Glory be to God. Lift up your heads. Praise God. We need not be walking around like we've been baptized in lemon juice and prune juice, our heads bowed. No. Our heads lifted up as kings and as priests unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thirdly, the Bible says he spoke favorably to him. And then fourthly, the Bible says that he elevated him above others. That's powerful. That God will elevate us in your workplace, that God will elevate you. In your firm, that God will elevate you. In your company, that God will elevate you. That God will elevate your business. Whatever it is that you're doing, that God brings you to the place of rising. Now, let's understand something. When we're talking about things that are really special, please hear me. As one who has traveled and I've stayed in many hotels, what I can tell you is this. that a hotel is a hotel is a hotel is a hotel. They all have bathrooms. Well, some that I've been to didn't have any bathroom. Because you go to some parts of the world, and I thank God every time that he doesn't send me to those places anymore. I can do it by Zoom. Praise God. They all have their bathrooms. There's a toilet, there's a bathtub, there's a shower. They all have beds, pillows, mattress. They all have television, and so on and so forth. But for one hotel, you might be paying $100. For another hotel, you may be paying $1,000. And they had both the same thing. What was the difference? The difference is in the little things that they do for you in that one that you're paying $1,000 for that the one that you are paying $100 didn't do. Just little things like coming into that room and changing the sheets. You go out and you come back and they folded towels and made nice ducks and whatever. You know, what do I need that for? But that special treatment. And the same thing is true. If you and I are going to attract the right kind of people, we've got to go the extra mile to do those little things, even as a church. The little things that we do. Getting somebody from the entrance of the church and walking them in and saying, have a seat here, ma'am. This place is for you. Having somebody in the parking lot just there waving you, they know you can park yourself. But just the little thing, oh, somebody was there to park me. It doesn't matter whether you have 10,000 people or you have 300 or you have 20. If you want to go to another dimension and attract certain things, you've got to impact every area of your life. Joachim's head was lifted up. And what I'm saying is this, we've got to find ways to lift people's heads up. Lift people up, elevate them, help them find themselves again. Because we are destiny helpers. Many years ago, somebody asked me, said, well, Pastor, don't you understand the neighborhood where your church is, they're not very wealthy. I said, yeah. He says, but you are always very well dressed. I said, yeah, is there a problem? He said, don't you think you should dress down so that you can match up with them? I said, no. I have to dress up properly so that when they look at me and say, that guy's well-dressed. Maybe I can spruce up a little bit. That is helping that person because he's not going to go get a job dressed the way, slobby way that he is. But you don't have to have expensive clothes. You just have to have clean clothes. Take care of what you've got. Give people something to look at. Everything that you and I do, we do to help somebody else. You're not just about yourself. You're about impacting a life and bringing about change. Bringing somebody out of the place of imprisonment where they have been locked up, limited in their thinking, limited in how they see life. Because let me tell you what, we make decisions based on what we think we know. And I need to know things that I don't know so I can make different decisions. Everybody makes decisions based on what they have been privileged to know. For all you know is limitation, that's how you are going to operate your life. You know, the other day I was thinking about blacks in general. That part of what has limited, and we have lots of, you know, do not misunderstand what I'm talking about here. We've got lots of great men and women, black folks doing extraordinary things. And that's why I'm so annoyed that about the racist activities happening in our world. Because they are not helping to lift up the people's heads. They are dumbing them down. Since when did mad become racist? I guess English is racist. If you don't speak good English, we should not speak good English anymore just to accommodate you. That is an abuse of a people. That you think I cannot get an ID to go vote. That's an abuse. That is racist. That is operating in very, I don't know how to, what words to use. You challenge people to come up. If you want my best, you challenge me to come up higher. You give me the assistance that I need to come up higher. You don't dumb everybody down so that I can become smart. Just 40 or 50 years ago, when blacks had control of their schools, they were number one in math in the United States. All of their schools, they were number one. Black folks are not dumb. Some of the greatest doctors that we have in the United States, they are Nigerians. Even right here in Canada, a lot of the good doctors are, and I wonder sometimes, how did these guys come out of Africa with very limited labs and stuff like that and be so smart? How did they do that? Well, because they are naturally smart. Every race is smart because we're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And rather than pull me down or tear other people down so I can feel better, help us all up. Let everybody come up higher. If you see something that you're doing wrong, correct it. But don't reduce everybody. That's of the devil. God has greater things for us. So the word of God says to us, it goes on and says, and changed his prison garments. Change his prison garments. That which reminded him of his past. Changed it. Joseph was smart enough, shaved himself and changed his clothes. This man of God's clothes were changed. Destiny helpers help you to change your clothes and put on the right kind of clothes that open opportunities for you. If you want to experience goodness in your life, there are things that must change. You cannot carry your past with you into your future. Some things that you have to dump. Whatever it is that you are using to cover your nakedness that is not working, it's full of holes. It's dirty and stinking. Toss that nonsense and put on new clothes. So that the person who sees you cannot identify you any longer with the prison life. He comes out dressed like the king he's supposed to be. And the Bible says, and he did eat bread continually. Oh, praise God. I thank God for that. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. That is the role of a destiny helper. Changing the life of a man from the life of imprisonment, where he is just living amongst prisoners, people that are not going anywhere. And it brings him to a place of authority and says, sit here with me and eat with me in this table. They're not eating the scrubs. Of prison life. There's a reason I was talking to you about blacks. The Lord brought me back there. You know, what you say, we're the prophets of our lives. And when you are robbed of your personhood and your manhood, then you begin to speak the language that keeps you in that belittled level of living. And I was thinking, what will a black man call his house? Living in the States, I will hear guys say things like, I'm going to my crib. Now, we know what a crib is. A crib is for babies. Are you with me? What does he call his wife? Don't take this the wrong way. He calls his wife mama. And if you're a mama, you're a baby. Are you with me? So my house is a crib for babies. My wife is mama. I'm a baby. And what does he call his peers? He calls his peers my boys. So you keep yourself by your language at a particular level. You're trained to think in a particular way. No, the word of God tells me differently. That's one of the reasons why when the government was busy trying to offer money to churches, I said, no, I'm not doing that. Not because I had lots of money, because I am not going to be held under the servitude of government system that tells me, oh, your God cannot provide for you. Here, take some money. Excuse me? No, you're not going to get my thinking there. I refuse to be that. I am a son of the Most High God, and God has blessed me greatly, and I will eat bread at the table of my God all the days of my life. Poverty is not part of God's system for my life. Lack is not. Yes, I may have started there, going from one thrift store to the other, but that's not my shopping center. That's not my mall. Hallelujah. I have a God who can direct my path. The word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. I want God to direct me all the days of my life. Don't you? And destiny helpers help you to become greater. They don't help you to become less. They help you to be greater. May God bring you, and may God cause you to be somebody who helps somebody else to become greater. Because the person you help today might be the person who's helping you tomorrow. One of the reasons I spend my time to teach the Word of God and break it down so that you get it is because what if I'm ever in trouble and I'm stumbling for whatever reason? I need people that know the word of God and say, Pastor, we know you're going through this, But remember, the word of God says this. The word of God says this. The word of God says this. Even if I want to punch you in the face for reminding me of what I preached, I will celebrate the fact that somebody had the grace in their lives to tell me when I'm missing the track. We need each other. What if I don't teach you what the word of God is teaching me? Then you don't know, and I don't know, and now we are all like blind men falling into the ditch together. But when we know what the word of God is, and we can stand on the foundation of that word of God, we can be helpers one of the other, encouraging each other, helping each other to stand in the integrity of the will and the word of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us he ate daily with the king. And I love the next verse. The Bible says, and his allowance, katobreshinakari. His allowance was a continual allowance. That means there was no stopping of the allowance. It just kept on flowing, just kept on flowing. Whether he needed it or not, it kept on coming. There was a daily allowance, a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate, fit for a king, for every day, all the days of his life. Even evil Merodach became a destiny helper. Evil Merodach was able to come and do all the right things all those 37 years that he had lost were reinstated megaly. May the blessings of God come upon our lives so that we are just so filled to the overflow. Let that which the enemy has kept under siege be released now in the mighty name of Jesus. Israel was held in captivity, besieged for years until they were eating their children. But God, by the prophetic word, says, by tomorrow, you're going to get so much food, you're going to be paying pennies for it. If God even opened the heavens, how can that be? And God goes outside the camp and gets 4 lepers. Those 4 lepers, even though the Bible does not list their names, I believe the key one in that midst was Elisha's servant that had been cursed with leprosy. Because we see him later on talking with a king. That's for another day. He was a destiny helper. 4 lepers walking, and God amplifies their feeble steps. And the enemy takes off thinking armies were coming. And the prophetic word came to pass. You might think, I am not much. I don't have much to offer. But God is saying, just keep on moving. I am resetting everything. I'm changing it all. May the God of change send helpers that will help us step into the other realm, a new realm, a fresh threshold of divine favor and grace. And may the supply that we need for every aspect of our lives be released now continually. May God use you to be a destiny helper. Hallelujah. Use you to bring provision, that you become so involved in the things of God that you place no limits to God and what God can do in you and with you all of your days. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Rise with me. have prayed for us. But right now, I'd like you to lift up your voice and begin to declare certain things. I'm going to call what it is that I want us to pray about, and as soon as I call it, you start praying that. First of all, I want you to pray, God, get me out of prison. Hallelujah. Just pray that. Father, get me out of prison. Get me out of prison. Get me out of prison. I cannot stay in the place of limitation anymore. Everything's got to change for me right this very moment. In the mighty name of Jesus, I step out of imprisonment. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to declare, let my head be lifted up out of prison. Let my head be lifted up. My head cannot be bowed down in defeat anymore. Father, my face is lifted up to look unto the author and the finisher of my faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, my head is lifted up and I look up onto the hills, onto the mountains from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You reign supreme. And in this mount of Zion, Lord, O God, there is deliverance. Father, in Jesus' name, my head is lifted up. My head is lifted up. I rejoice in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God says that the king spoke favorably unto him. Let's begin to declare now that favorable words are spoken unto us, that kind words are spoken into our lives, that words of strife, words of division, words of confusion be eradicated away from us in the mighty name of Jesus, that the words that we receive are words of peace, words of restoration, words of life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I receive, oh God, favorable words from every realm, favorable words in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Your word says, oh God, that when the ways of a man pleases you, even his enemies become friendly. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we declare now that even enemies, oh God, will speak favorably, oh God, unto us, that we'll find favor in your sight and in the sight of man. In the mighty name of Jesus, elevated, oh God, to fulfill your divine mandate. In Jesus' mighty name, let us begin to pray, God, elevate me above others, oh God, above my peers. That is not a wrong prayer to pray, because you have an assignment. God has a place for you. It's a place of elevation. To whom much is given, much is expected. With the elevation comes responsibility. So declare, Father, I'm willing and ready to be responsible so that I can serve your people from a place of authority in Jesus' name. I'm willing and ready to take on responsibility, to become accountable, to become mature, so I can care for others. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We give you praise, oh God, for the grace of responsibility, the grace of accountability, the grace, oh God, of divine maturity. So, Lord, oh God, that in this grace, oh God, I'm elevated, oh God, to serve your people from a position of authority, from a position of empowerment by the authority of your everlasting word. I'm willing and ready to be responsible, Father. I'm willing and ready to take on responsibilities that will bring about change and bring about restoration to the lives of others in Jesus' name. And I want you now to begin to pray that your garments, the garments of imprisonment, anything, the mindset of imprisonment, be removed from you, be erased from your life once and for all. You see, when you get a person out of prison, if change has not taken place, they are going to reconnect with those wrong habits that took them into prison in the first place. Let us begin to declare that the garment of imprisonment, the garment of confusion, the mindset that limits, be eradicated from our lives, and that we now put on Christ. We put on Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. We put on Christ. We put on Christ. We put on the garment of righteousness, and we eradicate from our lives the stench of the past. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, do it, O God, sovereignly, sovereignly, sovereignly. Do it, O God, in my life. Do it, O God, in this body. Do it, O God, for your people. Lord, O God, new clothes, new clothes, new clothes, new clothes, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. The Bible says he ate from the king's table. The kind of food that you eat determines the kind of smells you release. You need good food, proper food. So we're going to pray, God, let me eat correctly now. Hallelujah. Let me eat correctly now. So that whatever it is that I am releasing out of my system is founded in the goodness of God. Anything that will create the wrong smell, Father, remove from my life so that my life becomes a testimony of the goodness, the sweetness, the goodness, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Father, thank you, Lord, for the grace to eat at your table. Lord, O God, not like Mephibosheth, who was lame. We ask, O God, this day that I and all of your people be healed from every form of deformity. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of deformity, the spirit of lameness, the spirit of being crippled, that spirit that keeps people in the state of Lodibar. Father, we reject it. We, O God, reject it, and we come at the king's table, and we eat from this king's table that which the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has given. Good food in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And finally, let us begin to declare that we have our daily allowance, our daily supply, our daily supply. The supply is not based on our needs. It's based on a decision that this is what you are going to be given. And it's going to be a king's portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare, O God, supernatural overflow, supernatural abundance in resources, O God, being released. Lord, O God, the allowance, O God, of funds, the allowance, O God, of human resources, Lord, O God, of who and whatever needs to assist us to fulfill our divine mandate. Lord, O God, whatever that allowance is, we know, God, that it is a glorious allowance. It is a glorious allowance. We say now in Jesus' name, we receive our daily allowance. We receive our daily provision. We receive everything that we need to accomplish the assignment you have for us. Father, in Jesus' name, this is so done. It is so done. It is so done. It is accomplished. It is fulfilled. Our destiny helpers have located us, and they are fully equipped to do what is necessary for us to fulfill our divine mandate. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the privilege to share the word of God with us again tonight. May God continue to increase us on every side, and may we know blessings beyond description. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And God calls us to give. It's not because he doesn't have. As I see the word of God, I find out that whatever God is asking you to do, he already has. But he wants us to have that generous heart. He loves cheerful givers because he is a cheerful giver. Amen? So every time you have an opportunity to give, give generously. Ask God, what do you want? And He'll tell you what He wants. And as you respond to what He wants, you find increase on the other side of your obedience. I speak from knowing. If you want to stay defeated, if you want to stay struggling financially, keep your resources, keep whatever it is that you think is going to solve your problem. But if you want to partner with God, always, always give unto God. And He will cause destiny helpers to come your way. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall what? God, men, bring to your bosom. If you want to find favor with men, honor God. Start there. And God will honor His word in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm encouraged by sons and daughters in this house that have learned that powerful key of giving. But some, for whatever reason, they've not learned yet. But it will not be because of a lack of teaching. It will be simply because you don't want to get it. You're holding. See, as long as I'm holding on to this, you can't put something new there. Open hands, receive. Closed hands, never receive. And you become envious and jealous of other people. You know, in my years of ministry, I've found out that people who don't give are the ones who are always complaining about finances and wondering, what are they doing with the money in the church? Those are the people who don't give. But people who give, they're giving unto the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Your finances are being used wisely to do the things of God. Praise the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord is exactly that. It's the blessing of the Lord. So keep on honoring God with your giving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's pray. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your gifts, for the wonderful privilege accorded us to give, to bring into the kingdom. Bless, increase, multiply, establish, elevate, promote, position your sons and your daughters as they give unto you, not just for themselves, but Lord, O God, so that others may be blessed. And may the blessings be generational. Let it go from one generation to another. Open doors and opportunities. Destiny helpers rushing to help. So, Lord, O God, that grace abounding towards them, they will testify all of their days that God, you, O God, are the good God. Let your hands rest upon your people. And may many come to salvation even now because of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's very simple. You can do that right now. You can just simply just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and turn my life around. be my destiny helper. And he will do so. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And I look forward to being with you this Wednesday, and then, of course, on Friday. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, and Mama will be bringing the Word of God to us. And I know we will be blessed by all that is happening in our lives. Oh, is that, that's oh, leadership. Okay, that's right. It's the first Wednesday. Yes, so this first Wednesday and first Friday is going to be our leadership meetings. And but you can be online because we will be bringing a word to you, a pre-recorded message that will be a blessing to you on Wednesday and on Friday. So you can still stay connected. But those that are in leadership will be on in another Zoom meeting. And some will be here and some will be in their homes. So we look forward to seeing you as a congregation the week after. But this the first, even when I forget it, the first Wednesday and the first Friday of every month is just for our leaders. It's a time of prayer and intercession and a time of teaching for our leaders. Okay? Thank you. Good night. God bless you. Love you. And now I'll say hello to the saints and Zoom.